Ladies and gentlemen, a man who needs no introduction at all, the one and only Skip Bayless. Mr. Bayless, welcome, sir.
I appreciate it. And I'm joined by my little daughter, Hazel, our little Maltese, because she wants to monitor because she's very into what you're doing.
Oh, that's dope. The more the merrier. The more the merrier. Thank you, Skip.
She needs a bath, but she's okay. I need a bath, so she's going to clean my nose. Okay, here we go.
Skip, I want to go back to your time writing. You're putting together books about the Dallas Cowboys. You're covering the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune. At that point in your career, what did you envision your future would be like? Because for a sports journalist, you were kind of at the top.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. TV wasn't yet a thing.
Yep.
It hasn't exploded yet. I did occasional TV. Let's see, how far back would I have to go? My first ESPN was in 1989. So as I started writing books about the Cowboys, I was starting to do that show that's now no longer on ESPN called Sports Reporters.
Right.
And with Dick Schaap was the host, and Mike Lupica was on there, and it was back in the old early days of that show. And so I would do that occasionally on Sundays out of New York, but I never thought of TV as it or a destination or an ambition, because as my mama always told me, you at heart are a writer, God rest her soul. But to her dying day, she would always tell me, you need to write, not be on TV. And I'd say, well, I'm pretty good at TV. And my wife would say, no, you're very good at TV. So my wife, Ernestine, was always about, you need to ride this tiger on television as far as you can. So back in those days, the three Cowboy books, even moving on to the Chicago Tribune, which I went in 1997, 98, wow, is that Last Dance season that I was blessed to cover Jordan. Yeah. I was doing a lot of this and that on TV. I would do commentary on CNN. I was doing Golf Channel, believe it or not, from the majors. I was doing commentary, but I never envisioned it as full-time until about, I guess, those early 2000s, mm-hmm, when it started to become clear that the newspaper business was going to fail. Right. It was going to get wiped out and become a digital offering more than a print. You know, the whole idea of having a newspaper on your doorstep was going to go away.
Right.
And it's just like, by the grace of God, I got a call in 2004 from Mark Shapiro, who was then running ESPN. And he said, look, I got this new show on ESPN called Cold Pizza, which was on ESPN2.
Yes.
Hazel's getting bored, so I'm going to have to put her down. I'm boring her to tears. She's heard all this before. So the point was, he said, I got this new show out of New York City called Cold Pizza. And it had been on for about 3 months. And it was failing. But the point is that Shapiro said to me, hey, you've done a lot of things for us, but you've never done a full-time gig. So how about you pick up and come to New York and try to help save my show? Because he'd invest a lot of money in it, because it was a New York-based show that was supposed to be the Good Morning America of sports.
Right.
And what he was finding was that if people wanted Good Morning America, they would just watch Good Morning America. They didn't need a sports component to it.
Right.
So his idea was, I was always best at debate. And there was a little debate on ESPN, but not a lot. But he had seen me going at it with Stephen A, and I guess mostly Stephen A at that
right
point, because I was doing a little thing for Sunday Morning Sports Center called Old School, New School with Stephen
right
A. And Shapiro liked that. And Stephen A was about to start his own show on ESPN2, which was called Quite Frankly. So he said, let me put you on Cold Pizza. And Woody Page was my debate partner at that point. And Woody was just sort of the morning goofball, you know, sort of
right
crazy guy. And as Woody always said to me, I'm like the clown show. And I don't have a lot of clown show to me, right, but I do like the debate. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I just picked up, plunged, and said, okay, I'm going full force into this. I'm going to see if I can do TV every day. And the rest is fortunately ratings history, because we started to rate on Cold Pizza because of the debate format. And that led to us being moved to Bristol, to the mothership, to do what then got rebranded as First Take.
Yes, sir.
And here we went. So
history was made, Mr. Bayless, indeed. And not just you guys did well ratings wise, but culturally, you were impactful. Everybody was watching, even if the athletes claimed they weren't. And then in 2016, Skip, you opted to leave, right?
I did.
What are some of the factors that went into that decision? How scary was that decision, leaving the worldwide leader and essentially going to Fox Sports One to help break a network?
It's a great question that is rough for me to even go back into, because even you bringing it up makes me cringe, because it was scary,
I'm sure.
It was scariest of all because I was leaving my brother, Stephen A. Smith, and we're about as brother as you. I'll just tell you this. He is more of my brother to me than my real brother has ever been to me. And I love him. We fight, we squabble, we go back and forth, but I love him. And in my days of debating 1,000 people, 10,000 people on television, I've never encountered anyone quite like Stephen A. on gift of gab. He's just got it. It's just like God said, you got the gift of gab. And it was always fun to debate him, because he often wanted me to go first. And I'd go boom, boom, boom. And he'd say, wait a second, did you say boom? I said, yeah, I said boom. And he said, oh, here we go. And we'd do a left turn and go over here and do whatever Stephen A. wanted to do. And it would be crazy, great TV. Mm-hmm. So I loved my time with him. But the backstory was that in 2011,
yes,
our show got taken over on an interim basis by a man named Jamie Horowitz. Okay. And he was the first to say, to look at what was the remnants of what I talked about Cold Pizza was, which was a morning variety show loosely based on sports, in which we'd have a lot of segments in the show about ballpark food or pet segments, dog segments, cigar segments. We do offbeat sports stories that I wouldn't be a part of, because I would just wait to do the debate.
Yes, sir.
And so we would do the debate about four times over 2 hours. And in 2011, Jamie Horowitz took over and was looking at the cumulative ratings numbers. And what you would see is over 2 hours of, which was Cold Pizza, the First Take, it was still Cold Pizza, really, it would go spike, 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 spike. We'd have four huge spikes. And he said, what are you guys doing? Why don't you just go all debate for 2 hours? Well, that was unheard of. And a lot of people around the hallways at ESPN said, you will fail miserably. And some people thought it would be a career crippling decision by Jamie Horowitz. Mm-hmm. So not only did we succeed, we went through the roof. We got helped in the 2011 football season by this guy named Tim Tebow, if you remember Tim Tebow.
Yes, sir.
And so he helped take our ratings up a level. But Stephen A. was just doing a segment a week with me for a while. And I kept telling Jamie, if you're going to go all in on this, if we're going to go 2 hours of debate, I have to have him as a permanent partner, because we were just doing a cavalcade. We were doing come one, come all.
Yes.
We had Rob Parker. We had Jemele Hill. We had Michael Smith. I'm sure I'm going to forget 1,000 names.
Two Live Stews.
We also had, who's that?
Two Live Stews.
Oh, yeah. Two Live Stews were even before them. Yeah. Correct. Thank you for bringing them up. They were forerunners and groundbreakers in this format. And then we had just a parade of analysts on ESPN who would come in and fight with me about Tebow or whatever the issue would be. Yes. But my heart was with Stephen A. Mm-hmm. So we got through football season and Jamie said, okay, do or die here. Do you want me to go all in on Stephen A and try to get him full time? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I told Stephen A, if you're going to come on with me, it's going to be 50-50. It's not my show, it's our show. And here we're going to go. And so we had a great run from, I guess it was 2012 would be the first full year, 13, 14, 15, into 16. And Jamie Horowitz left.
Yes, sir.
And first he went to NBC and it was kind of ill-fated. It didn't fit him. It didn't fit them. He was doing like the Today Show on NBC as the executive producer. Mm-hmm. And he wound up at Fox trying to revive what was then FS1. They'd had an early incarnation where they tried one big show that hadn't taken off. And so it was Jamie who was commissioned then to sink or swim with FS1. And obviously he had given me my big platform, obviously, when we went all debate. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I owed Jamie to give back to him one big shot to see if we could put FS1 on the map.
Yes.
And the hardest call I ever made in my life was to Stephen A, who was actually at a game, weirdly, in Detroit, an NBA game.
Yes.
He was in the parking lot taking a little nap before his night started. And I woke him up in his rental car and I said, are you sitting down? He said, well, in fact, I'm lying down in my car. And I broke the news that I'm going to do this. And he wasn't shocked because of the Jamie factor. Mm-hmm. And I won't lie, the money was great, but it wasn't all about the money. It was just about Jamie and trying to blaze a new trail. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy. And I still have some regret about it, but it worked. Thank God I'm knocking on wood right now here on my wife's desk. But it worked. So the idea was, try something else, go have the guts, have the courage of your convictions, go plunge. And I plunged and we did okay.
You did okay indeed. Number two sports show on YouTube right now. You guys are crushing it. And just
Thank you.
You identify Stephen A as your debate partner, you did the same with the Hall of Famer, Mr. Shannon Sharpe.
I did.
I saw him on All the Smoke podcast. He said, listen, man, I got to give all the praise to Skip. He vouched for me. When the higher-ups wanted Skip to maybe go get a journalist who could not only talk about football, but basketball and baseball, you said, no. Shannon Sharpe is my guy. What can you tell us about your first time meeting Sharpe, and what was it about him that you said, you know what, this is the guy I want to go up against every day?
I got blessed again because after I had accepted the job at FS1, I still had about 3 months left on my deal at ESPN that I had to serve out, play out.
Yes.
And they were good enough to me. They trusted me enough, as they should have, to keep me on the air as a professional, that I wouldn't try to sabotage. I wouldn't give less than my best, mm-hmm. that I would give them my honest day's work every day left on that deal. And I did. The blessing came when Stephen A took a week off at one point in the summertime. It was like a weird, it was like in July, right, which is kind of dead. And guess who we got? It wasn't even my pick. One of the producers said, let's try Sharpe.
Yep.
Okay, great. Because I knew him from CBS and always thought he had a big commanding presence and a big booming voice. Yes. And he spoke with such authority, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is.
And I said, let's do it. But you never know, even from like a morning meeting, like a pre-show meeting, mm-hmm. you have no idea how it will translate to the air. Well, he was very forceful and authoritative and basically took over the morning meeting. But I just grain of salt that, and I wait until we get on and see what happens on live TV. Mm-hmm. And electricity happened. Magic happened, because it was very different than what I had with Stephen A, but it worked, because he's his own man. He has huge pride and will. And so he wasn't afraid of no skip. And he came at me. He let me go back at him. We clicked, and the key to live TV debate is no punches pulled, but none thrown. You know, you can't get to the point where you just lose your mind and want to slug the other guy across the table, because the audience will just turn that off, because it turns them off. Mm-hmm. There's this fine line of fighting, but not going completely over the edge into permanent anger where, mm-hmm. where people think you now hate each other. Mm-hmm. Shannon and I have done even more battle than Stephen A and I ever did. But the beauty of my relationship with him is I think I was able to convince him from day one, I don't take this personally. I won't take it home. I won't lose sleep. I love you. I believe in you. I respect you to the nth degree, but I'm going to do battle. And I'm going to disagree with all my heart and soul about many of your takes, because it's weird. Me and Shannon are just like, it's like we were born to be at odds, because it's genuine.
Yes.
We just don't believe the same things. And it helps in the debate format, because a lot of times in the morning, it just falls into place where you want it to be authentic debate. We don't trick it up. We don't say, if you'll take that side, I'll take that side. We never do that. And sometimes we agree because we just genuinely agree.
Yes.
But with Shannon, I could tell over 1 week's time, 10 hours of TV, it was pretty good. Yes. And not only that, but I could see the ratings for the week. They were good. They were real good, especially for July. I think we had a Brady story where, remember when it was going back and forth about Deflategate, and he was in court?
Yes.
And then I think we had the first round of court where the judge in New York City sided with Brady. You know, he lost in the appeals court, and he finally dropped the case, but he won the first round in Manhattan court.
Yes.
And the judge just took the NFL to task over it. So that's the only story we had all week, but it was pretty good because he's not the biggest Brady fan. I am. Mm-hmm. So we went back and forth on that. But when I took the job at Fox, we hadn't even talked about a partner. And the first day we talked, I just said, hey, I can't lose with Shannon Sharpe. Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, they threw some other names at me, like the journalist type, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. That's fine. And that can work, because Stephen A and I both came from newspapers, yes. obviously. And yet with Shannon, I said, this will be a whole different ball game, because the RPM will be different. The whole dynamic is different. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and I'm not. Mm-hmm. And yet I've covered the NFL a lot longer than he played in the NFL.
Yes.
And the other beauty of Shannon Sharpe is he loves him some NBA. And, you know, Stephen A has been the face of the NBA. That's great. And I've covered the NBA since those guys, like before they were born. But the point is, Shannon Sharpe loves LeBron James, like crazy loves him, like stalker loves him, you know, like he wants to be LeBron James. I've never seen anything like it before. I don't get it. And there's some things I do love about LeBron, and there's some other things I don't love about LeBron, and I have been critical of him, but it was like, thank you God.
Yeah.
If Shannon Sharpe truly feels that way about LeBron, and he does, we're good to go.
Good to go.
So it was so to speak, a home run for the show. Just let's go with Shannon. And I got to tell you, Shannon Sharpe works his butt off to prepare for this show. And I respect it, because I've always thought I wouldn't want to fight me every day on the show, because I'm just obsessed with it. And I don't even apologize for it. If my wife were still here, she walked out of the room, but she would come over and tell you he's out of his mind. I live and die for this show. My whole existence is geared around this show. I told my wife on our first date 16 years ago, if this goes anywhere, you will always be 1A to my work, which is my life. And it's the way I was built before I met her. And she always says, well, at least now I'm a co-number one. You know, okay, I'll give you co-number one. And I do. Like, every waking moment I have to give her and my little girl Hazel, our little Maltese, I give them every second away from my job. Right. I don't play cards with the guys on Wednesday night. I don't play golf on Saturday morning with the guys. I don't do any of that, but I do obsess over my work and my job.
Yes.
And on this past Saturday night, it's 5:30 here, 8:30 Eastern. There's a game, and she knows all too well we are going to watch that game. And if she wants to watch with me, she is welcome. And if she doesn't, she is welcome. But I am going to watch that game. I'm going to tweet about that game. I'm going to obsess about it. It may take me an hour to come down from that game. It usually does. But the point is that I wouldn't want to have to debate me every day on TV. And Shannon does. And now we've done it going on 5 years.
Yes.
And I don't know if he would tell you it's taken a lot out of him. I have no idea, but he seems great. He seems strong. And I know I wear him out because I won't back down. And I take every topic we do, I take it like it's my last topic.
Right.
But the point is that he has been a godsend for me here. Mm-hmm. And I have enormous respect for the job he's done, as you said, hitting to all fields, because
yes,
he can do,
he has.
We don't do much baseball or hockey or anything else, but he knows them.
Yes.
And he can talk them if we need to talk them.
That's great. You guys, he has done a great job. He definitely has. Skip, I not only have you for a little bit of time, things I wanted to ask you. How do you gauge whether or not you're doing a good job? When you sit back and you reflect, how do you decide if, hey, I really brung it today, or I'm doing the right things here?
It's weird you ask me that right now because I'm not sure how the timing of this is going to go, but obviously I just came back from doing today's show.
Yes.
And the first thing I told my wife when I walked in the door was, I was terrible today on television.
Wow.
And I was. And she hears that all too much, and she always rolls her eyes, and she watches that. That's why she's a saint. She watches every second of every show live on. If she's doing anything around the house, she'll turn it on every TV. So if she's walking around, she can keep up.
Yes.
And I don't know that she is actually locked into every word that comes out of my mouth, but she can. If I say topic number 7 went off the rails and I blah, 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 whatever, she'll know what I'm talking about. She's not that into sports, but she will know the gist of what we were talking about. So she always says, you're being way too hard on yourself. And my point about today's show was, yesterday was July the 4th. So she wanted me to do a quasi holiday. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to do something with her in the afternoon when I normally, it's a work day for me because we're going to have a Monday show.
Yes.
On the 5th. So I felt like I didn't try as hard to prepare last night as I usually do. And it showed on the air because I had a couple of moments where I just wasn't sharp. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't thought hard enough about what I needed to say about this topic or that topic. So I tear myself up over these things. And she's right, I'm probably too hard on myself. But the reason I like doing a daily show is there's another one tomorrow.
Yes.
And so I'll shake it off by about 4:30 Pacific time, which is when I start to prep for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And at 4:30, we have a list that they send just of all the best stories of the day. I'll also be keeping my own list through the afternoon. And then the way it works is I go through the list and I try to pick the best topics for Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. Like, what would he be strongest on? Because I've been doing this so long, I got passion all over the place for a lot of things. But the only thing that matters to me on the show is that he is engaged 1,000% on every topic. Like, he believes he has a chance to win that debate, that one, and that one. And there are a lot of pet type topics where you say, well, I know he'll be hot for this one. So I call our producer at 5 o'clock and I say, hey, I see potentially 12 topics here that could be good. We need 10 total. I might even have 15 that I kind of like. It depends how, whether it's a slow news day or a hot news day. Mm-hmm. And I tell him quickly what my takes are. And then he turns right around and calls Shannon about 5:30-ish and says, hey, what do you think about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and goes right down the line. And he just, all he needs is a nutshell, just a,
yes,
you know, like a cliff notes. You just need, is he a pro or a con, up or a down, right or left? Just give me the gist of what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And then the producer types up those little one or two liners and sends them right back to me. And then I can go over in my head and think, oh, well, that topic will be great because he believes this and I believe that. Mm-hmm. And then it's weird, but I've been doing this since the days of Cold Pizza. I pretty much executive produce the whole show because when I go in at, I get up at 2 out here, it's 5 o'clock in the East, mm-hmm. and I read the overnight things. Then I get on my treadmill and I watch a loop of whatever highlight show I want to watch. It could be SportsCenter. It could be the NBA channel. It could be whatever to make sure. It could be the NFL channel to make sure I've got all the highlights in my head. Then I jump in the shower at about 3:30, go in, get in by 4-ish. And then I just start picking the topics that feel the hottest to me, knowing that he's an up or a down on the topic, you know, like a pro or a con, and it just falls together and you can see it. And I pretty much trust that's the direction he's going to go, but I don't always know that because he might sleep on it and throw me a curveball where he goes off another direction, which happened one time today. And I just wasn't ready for it, and I should have reacted better, but I didn't.
So Skip, since you said you weren't that good today, does that mean Shannon Sharp won? No way.
It was a tie.
It was a tie. Oh.
I'm going to give him a tie. I've never lost one time. It's unbelievable. And that's my point of
that's
view.
It.
But, yeah.
All but right, Shay, you got a tie. He got a tie. Skip, one last one for you.
Sure.
You've been dominating this sports debate for years. Recently, you just came out of negotiation, which kind of reaffirmed your value, you know?
Thank you.
What would you say has been your biggest disappointment or setback in your career?
That's a good question.
Because you've been the man flying high. You know, we hear about your work ethic and your discipline, and that's contributed to the success you've had. You're undefeated in debate. But when you do this long enough, journalism, television, there's going to be some roadblocks, some up and downs.
Yeah, honestly, you're going to think this is a cliche answer, but it's the God's truth. I don't have any regrets. Mm-hmm. I have had a bunch of ups and downs.
Yes, sir.
I am a spiritual man, and I do believe in God, and I do believe in the power of prayer. And I believe in listening to what I call your God voice, which is your intuition in the back of your head that tells you to do that or that. And sometimes I look back on a choice that I made career-wise, like leaving Stephen A. Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And then a month later, I wake up and say, no, it's okay. It's going to work. And I do not rule out one day reuniting with Stephen A, because in my last, what you're talking about, my new deal, it was close that I almost reunited with him then. Yep. It was very close. And I would love to work with him again, but it's like, that's in God's hands. And I'm not trying to shrug off your question or duck or dodge your question. I don't look back and have some powerful regret that I didn't try this or that, because I did it all. Everything I did was a plunge. You know, I tell kids when they say, what's the best advice? And I always say, if you're willing to work your ass off and work Saturdays and Sundays, you'll immediately have a leg up on everybody in this business, because most people don't want to make that kind of sacrifice to be in sports, you know, to be in sports journalism, to be in sports media. And I also say, you know, whatever fork in the road comes to you, go the harder one. If you say, that's going to be the harder one to do, go there. Just go over there, because I did it at every stop, like just real quick. So I start off at the Miami Herald. This is back in the day where newspaper was king. And right out of Vanderbilt, I go to the Miami Herald. And I did pretty well. And I all of a sudden, I was the phenom. I was the rising star. And the LA Times called and said, hey, we were interested in you coming out of college, but we didn't have an opening. Now we have an opening. And I thought, man, I've never been west of the Rockies. So maybe I should go figure out LA. Maybe I should. And it was the greatest move I ever made, but it scared me to death because I was golden at that moment at the Miami Herald. Go to LA. I worked and worked and fought my way to the top. And I was the golden child at the LA Times. And Dallas called to be a columnist at age 26 in Dallas, to be a lead columnist. And I'm like, boy, that's scary, because I was going up against a legendary columnist at the other paper named Blackie Sherrod. And everybody said, he's going to run you out of town. I'm going to try that. And I lived to tell about it. So my point is, I just kept doing these things, and I just don't have any regrets, but I have been blessed. Mm-hmm.
That's dope. Skip Bayless, thank you so much for doing this, sir. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, I would also like to say in closing that thanks to you, you've shared your work with me, and I am very impressed with what you do, both in your video and audio forms and in your written form. And the reason I wanted to do this today is because I believe you have a future in this business. And I just say, God bless you. And I hope that my mere little presence on one of your podcasts could help you gain a little more traction, because I just believe you have a future. And I like how authoritative you are on the air, and I like your command of the material. And I just hope that the right door opens for you, and I believe it will.
Oh, man, Skip, that was the greatest. America, did you hear that? My price is only going up. The great Skip Bayless said he likes my work. Skip, thank you, brother. You. Take care.
Okay. Pleasure.
Huh. What do you know? The great Skip Bayless took time out to join me here on my podcast. Skip Bayless, one of the most recognizable voices in sports media, host of the nationally televised Undisputed, where he does daily debate with the three-time Super Bowl champion and Hall of Fame tight end Shannon Sharp. That Skip Bayless took time out from his busy day to join me here on my podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that was special. That was special, to say the least. I want to share with you guys how that appearance even came about. If you don't know me, I have worked at a few different stops in professional sports. My career started with the New York Rangers Hockey Club in Madison Square Garden. I've worked with Major League Baseball, helping to organize the World Baseball Classic. In 2017, I was a member of the New York Yankees Player Services and Travel Department. A lot of cool different spots, man. I gotta admit, I've been blessed. And during that journey, I've been able to meet individuals from all different areas of sport. Not only current players, but Hall of Fame players, media members, presidents, coaches, managers, commissioners, player agents, sneaker execs, all different types of people. And while working these gigs, I was simultaneously trying to build my podcast, trying to build my reputation as a personality. So one day I got the genius idea that, yo, I'm going to reach out to my network and see if there's somebody that can connect me with Skip Bayless. Because not only is Skip one of the most prominent voices in sports media, but he has a reputation for being a kingmaker, for being someone who has no problem giving opportunities and helping to elevate the careers of other individuals. Hell, Stephen A. Smith will tell you himself, yo, man, I got to send a salute to Skip, man. He really looked out. You know, Skip said it on his very podcast that he went to the executive and said, yo, if First Take is going to go to another level, I need Stephen A. Smith as my dance partner day in and day out. And we saw how that show took off when that transition happened. Shannon Sharp, the same thing. I told you, I was watching All the Smoke podcast, and Shannon Sharp was like, yo, guys, I got to give it up to Skip. He stood on that table and fought for me and told Fox Sports 1, hey, Sharp is our guy. On this very podcast, Rob Parker came on here and told you guys, yo, the day Undisputed was announced, Skip Bayless was on the phone calling Rob. Hey, Rob, if you up for it, I'd love to have you out here in L.A. working with us again. You know, and this was after ESPN and Rob had went in different directions. Skip said, yo, brother, I'd love to have you back out here working with me on Undisputed, putting Rob back on the national scene. So that's the reputation Skip has. So I wanted to get some of my work to him. I reached out to my network. Nobody had a contact, man. Skip was a hard guy to catch up with, I guess. But one individual came back. They said, well, don't have a contact for Skip, but I do have an email address for his spouse. I said, all right, let's do it. My contact said, well, you're on your own. I'm not making a connection. In fact, don't even tell him when you got the email address. Good luck, buddy. I said, all right, okay. So I took the email address, composed a cold email. Hi, my name is William Holly. This is what I'm trying to do. Here's some of my content. I would love to get it on the desk of the great Skip Bayless. I sent it off. That was December 2019. I didn't get a response. But that's no problem. They don't owe me anything. They don't know me, right? There was no connection made. No problem at all. All right? So that's the Skip leg of the story, right? Put that to the side. I was still reaching out to different individuals, reaching out to radio execs, reaching out to program directors. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I could get on the radio. Again. Most people don't respond, but one gentleman did. His name was Scott Shapiro. He works out in Los Angeles for Fox Sports Radio. I forget his title. He might be a VP or executive VP. I forget his title, but he responded. He said, well, some quality work, man. You're doing your thing, man. Keep pushing. I said, man, this is somebody from Fox Sports Radio responding? So I wrote back, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. Is it possible that I can come up and meet you and have a conversation? Scott Shapiro said, yes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know I had no plans to be in L.A., but you better believe I was going to get my ass out there now. So I booked a trip to L.A., right? No sightseeing, nothing. I didn't go to Beverly Hills. I didn't go to Wilshire Boulevard. I didn't go to the Staples Center. It was a business trip. So I went to L.A. to meet Scott Shapiro. I walked in the Fox Sports building, you know. Had a conversation with Mr. Shapiro. I'm like, yo, what I got to do, man, to get on, right? This is the same building where Doug Gottlieb is doing a show, Colin Cowherd is doing radio shows. Like, I'm literally in the building. What I got to do to stay here? Scott Shapiro said, well, you know, to be honest, when a national a radio station like Fox Sports 1 is looking for new talent, they're going to go find somebody that's already on the air locally somewhere in New York, Chicago, Miami, right? It's going to be hard for you, Will, to transition from essentially your mom's basement to having a national radio show. I said, damn, man. You know, I was a little heartbroken. But he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to connect you with Rob Parker. Rob, too, is someone who's been a mentor and helped to cultivate talent in the business. I said, all right, cool, great. I love Rob. You know, so he put me on an email with Rob Parker. Me and Rob play phone tag, email tag for years. You know, so, you know, he's busy, I'm busy. We were never really able to connect. And I was reading a book by Charlamagne Tha God, who is a hip hop radio personality. And he was talking about how people always approach him and they ask him to, yo, Doug, like, yo, just put me on. And he was like, yo, when you ask me for something, you should be specific. Because yes, Charlamagne is somebody that can connect dots for people, but be specific. I was like, wow, that's a good point. You know, when I was trying to connect with Rob, what was I really asking him for? Yo, just put me on, give me a job? No, like, be specific in how I can help you. So I said, you know what? 2021, I'm going to try that. I'm going to be specific. So I reached out to Rob Parker. I said, yo, Rob, how would you feel about being on my podcast? Rob hit me back. Let's do it. I'm like, that's cool, man. All these years we've been trying to connect. I wasn't even really sure what I was going to ask him. But now I have something specific to ask him. Hey, dog, come be on my podcast. And he was willing to do so. And that's when we did the Rob Parker episode. So after that episode, you know, we had talked about his transition from ESPN to Fox Sports 1. He talked about how big a role Skip played in that. I said, you know what? I'm going to send this podcast to that email address I had for Skip and his team. So I sent it off. Didn't know what would happen. You know, days go by. I am an assistant basketball coach for a high school here in Brooklyn, New York. We were getting ready to play a game. I went to check my phone for the last time before the game was to start. You know, you have the icons at the top of the screen. It was a Gmail. I was like, oh, I got a new email. So I slid the screen down just to take a peek at what it says. And the heading of the email says Skip's response. Woo! Yo, ladies and gentlemen, I put that phone away. I ain't want to see any more. I said, yo, I'm going to wait till I get home and read that. So it says Skip's response. I was hyped, to say the least. So I got home, I finally put my phone out, read the email in its entirety, and Skip did indeed send some kind words back my way. You know, he said he had checked out some of my work, some of my audio, some of my video, some of my written work. I forgot, I had sent him some essays that I had wrote. And that was pretty cool. Again, somebody that we've watched for 15 years on television, it took the time out to evaluate my material. And I showed that email to some of my closest friends. And one common observation that many of them made, they were surprised at how candid Skip was. Like, it wasn't just some perfunctory remarks like, oh, keep up the good work, kid. No, he was really like detailed. Like, he took time to check out some of my work. I was like, wow, this is a big deal. This is special. You know, and going back to what I had read from Charlamagne Tha God, yo, Will, you got the attention of these individuals. Be specific. So, of course, hey, Skip, would you like to do the podcast? And he did it. And he did it. And that is really cool, man. That is really cool for a number of reasons. For one, Skip is one of the best at what he does. Now, some of you might like, well, Skip is one of the best. Are you crazy? Did you hear what he said about LeBron? Ladies and gentlemen, we are all people from different walks of life, opinions. We all got different opinions, right? When I'm talking about one of the best, I'm talking about the ability to tell a story. They're one of the best at that. The ability to tell an engaging and entertaining story. He is one of the best. When I'm talking about crafting an argument, getting your point across in a 5-minute segment or a 15-minute segment, they are indeed the best at what they do. And also keep in mind, they are some of the best journalists in the world. Even the way they use the English language. How many words have we learned from them? Egregious and different things. Take it from somebody that just finished a doctoral dissertation. Dog, the English language is a different animal. And for years, we watched them wield the English language like flawlessly. You know, people sometimes they reach out to me and say, yo, Will, I loved your podcast. I agreed with everything you said. I'm like, yo, that's cool. I appreciate it. But that shouldn't be the standard for whether or not my podcast is good. Like, if you agree with me or not. No. Did I tell you a story that was engaging? Did I raise points that maybe you would have never considered? Did I give support and evidence for my position? Did I bring up counterpoints and address those? You know, that should be the standard on whether or not I put together a good podcast. And when you're looking through that lens, Skip, Stephen A. Smith, Dan Lebatard, Colin Cowherd, these guys are the best. So for him to take the time out and acknowledge my work, not only acknowledge it, but to come here and be a part of it is special. And he said it at the end. He said, man, humbly, Will, hopefully my presence can help you get more traction. Without him saying that, I had assumed that was his reasoning for doing it because I can't do anything for him. That man got 3 million followers. I got 200. That man just signed a deal for, what, $30+ million. Like, he did that solely to help somebody out that he believed is next up in the game. And for that, I'm forever grateful and thankful because he don't owe me anything. That was special, ladies and gentlemen. You know, my man Fat Cat looked at me the other day and he was like, yo, Will. He looked at me like, yo, like, who told you you could do a podcast? Like, you ain't formally trained. Like, who told you you could do this? Ladies and gentlemen, I've been watching the best do it for 20 years. So don't get caught up in the opinions and stuff. That's not what I've been watching. I've been watching the arguments. I've been watching the storytelling, how they craft an argument, how they respond to their debate partner. How they orchestrate a table. You know what I'm saying? When Skip is sitting at that debate table, he's responsible for everybody there. Even the guys he's supposedly arguing against, he got to make sure he gets his point off. The other guy gets his point off. Like, he's like an orchestrator. That's what I really be watching. It ain't about the opinion. Opinions come and go, man. That's not what I've been watching. I've been watching the craft of storytelling, of delivering and shaping an argument, of responding to an argument. And it's been masterful. You know?
masterful. And really, what's been the beef with Skip? What he said about LeBron? All right, maybe a couple years ago I could understand, but now that we done seen LeBron's career play out, ain't Skip's been proven to be right? LeBron is somebody who lacks accountability. LeBron is somebody who's underachieved. LeBron is somebody who really don't want to take a clutch shot. Like, hasn't his thoughts been proven to be somewhat prophetic? Another reason Skip's appearance is special is because it's like a culmination of all of the work and like kind of steps that I've taken in my career. You know, I can trace the origins of this interview back to my days pulling nightclub and security here, pulling security in nightclubs here in New York City. Yo, Will, how'd you get Skip on your podcast? Oh, because of somebody I knew when I worked in professional sports. Well, how'd you get in professional sports? Because that night I was working in a nightclub, this guy gave me a card, and I ended up being a driver to a guy that hired me in professional sports. And the job in professional sports required a degree. Well, Will, how'd you get a degree? Oh, because I was a United States Army veteran. I deployed to Iraq in 2005. And when I got out, I had Uncle Sam pay my college tuition. So all of those different stops in my career have added up to this. You know, I can really trace the origins of this interview back to, as I mentioned, my days in the Army. My days in college. Well, Will, how'd you get a job in sports? Because of my days as a college athlete. When I went in the interview, I was able to talk about sports from this perspective and that perspective. So this interview represents kind of like all of those steps, all of those dues I paid, you know, culminating into having one of the most influential figures in this field stop in and kind of give me a tip of the hat and say, William Holly, I see what you're doing, brother. Keep going. You know, and that is indeed special. So to the great Skip Bayless, thank you, sir. To the lovely Miss Ernestine, thank you. And, man, just keep doing what we do, man. Get back to work. But America, y'all heard what he said, man. He said, I got a future in this business. So what that mean? The price is only going up. Y'all better come get me now. WBH Radio, man. William Holly, we out.